There's so many things that God has laid in my heart, and I'm going to try to keep it simple and keep it very short. How many people know that things are only hard if you don't understand them? You know that if you see someone driving a car and you don't know how to drive, you'll be feeling like, it must be a lot. The person is turning. The person is moving like this. The person knows when to navigate or signal. But when you learn how to drive, after a while, you realize that it is one of the most mindless things. You're not even thinking. You are just moving. The only reason why it seemed hard before was that you didn't know what to do. And that's the same thing about marriage, too. A lot of people think marriage is hard because they don't know what to do. Marriage is one of the easiest things. The only problem is that we usually don't know what to do. So today, what I want to share with you are the things that you have pledged to do when you say, I do. Because a lot of times, we conduct weddings, I even attend weddings, and I see a lot of people, they will come to the front, they say, do you take this man? I do. Do you pledge to do this and submit in all things? The girl will now be looking into his eyes. I do. Pastor will now say, we can't hear you. She'll say, I do. They will say, do you promise to forsaking all others as long as you both shall live? The man will say, I do. Pastor say, a little bit louder, hey, I do. Can we give Jesus a big hand? Everybody be clapping. 2 months later, you now start hearing, Pastor, I can't, I'm done. And I don't know why it is that when they want to break up is when they be speaking nonsense for me. I can't, I'm out. Pastor, no, you don't understand. I can't do this anymore. And I know I say this everywhere I go, but it always makes me laugh when people say they are done. How, 2 months marriage, how are you done? Is it not something they put on fire that can be done? We have not even washed beans, my mom is smelling. I can never seem to understand that thing. The reason why most of us grew up in balanced homes was because our parents were strong enough to do marriage the right way. Now, marriage, they may have had principles that we do not agree with, but a lot of those principles are the principles that helped them. They knew what they were getting into. So a lot of times when people say things like, oh, marriage, but our parents married, they didn't know each other. How come marriage was lasting? They may not have known each other, but they told her when she was going that you see this man that you're going to his house, when you get there, you will respect him. You will cook for him. You will sleep with him. You will have his children. You will train his children. Do you understand? Yes. Draw your ear. Remember the family you're coming from. You're not going to disgrace us. Say yes. Then they will tell the man, you see this small girl that we're coming to give you now. You will pay her school fees. You will train her. You will pay house rent. You will not beat her. They understood what they were getting into. Maybe they didn't have the full picture, but they knew. Everybody understood clearly what their roles and their assignments were. Everybody understood clearly what their needs were. So they entered with eyes open. Maybe they didn't fully understand it, but with eyes open. Now, our eyes are full of other things. And we think that love is what makes a marriage work. Love is the least factor in marriage. The least. So the first question you need to ask yourself is, what is marriage to you? One of the things I learned a long time ago, marriage is not a reward. It's an assignment. A lot of us think, and you know why I know that people think marriage is a reward? Have you seen those guys on social media? You've been dating the guy for 17 years. Then he gives you a ring. And then you're saying, oh my God, it's a lie. What's a lie exactly? What's part of it? That after 17 years, he decides to man up. Or the fact that God is sending you to go and work. Because sometimes I feel like they don't ask questions. Ask people that have gone ahead of you. What do they do in marriage? She said, oh my God, it's a lie. And because you have no idea what you're going in to do, you mess it up. That's the real issue with a lot of marriages today. So the first thing is, what's your definition of marriage? So you're getting married, you think, the way you're celebrating, you think it's because God wants to reward you. No. God wants to send you errand. You understand? So you are not married because you are the most beautiful girl. You are not married because you are the most qualified. You are married because God has one of his sons or one of his daughters that he has a destiny for. And he's looking for who to partner with him to make sure that they fulfill that destiny. So marriage is a journey of destiny. That's what marriage is. It's not a reward. It's an assignment. So that's why you can't be jealous that they send someone on errand before you. That's the first thing you need to know. That marriage is not a reward, it's an assignment. It is a partnership in fulfilling destiny. If you understand that marriage is more for God than for you, you will honor marriage more. Marriage is not about, oh, we love each other. Marriage is that we have chosen to honor God with our lives and our destiny. And we have chosen to partner together to do it. When I was getting married, I had no disillusions at all. I knew clearly what I was going into. I had prayed and I had heard God. In fact, my story is a long story, so I don't even want to use my time for that today. But those that know have heard my story. I had been in a relationship for 5 years, and then God says, the man you are with is not your husband. And we had done introduction. And he was a doctor in the abroad. And for some of you are looking at me, you know I like good something. Because they didn't really swear for me. Do you think I don't want children that are speaking phone, eh? Oh, hi, mom. All those kind of things. I planned my life. And then God now says, the man you are with. Let me show you, to show you how planned my life was, eh? When he was going, he took some of my things with him. So that when me, I'm coming, my load will be reduced. And then God now said, the man you are with is not your husband. And when he now showed me that the person I'm going to marry is a pastor. See, when I was in Ife, when people used to say those things, oh, it seems like you have a call. I say, call. Eh? Call. Marriage. Even the person that gives pastor water, I don't want. Do you understand? Lay minister, oh, full one, no. Oh. Do you understand? Part time, I don't want. Like, there's a way you'll be giving pastor water. Because that's really what happened when they were looking for a prophet. They say, oh, there's no prophet, but there's someone that is to pour water. They say, surely the word of the Lord must be in him. Meaning that if pastor travel, they can say, oh, you that are pouring water, come and help us stand here. Many people are still pastoring by, come and help us stand here. I say, me, I'm not pastor's wife material at all. I'm not gentle. I'm not, oh, bless you. You offend me. I will pray on your head. So, you know, I just knew I wasn't, and I'm not that, yes, I'm gentle, but I hate injustice. So, you know, pastor's wife, they can't tolerate injustice. You'll be maltreating them, they'll just be saying, Lord, bless you. I know that I'm not really like that, if not for the Holy Spirit. So I was like, ah, God, you can't do this to me. And then it was not a pastor who wasn't earning a salary. God said, you are going there to live by faith. I say, Holy Spirit, why are you like this? Can't you just allow me to enjoy small in this life that I came? And then you carry me from my Jabota life. That anything that I need, I'll just call my dad. Daddy, I need this. My father will send the money. My mother will send the money. Then I said, go and be living by faith. But God was very clear. So I cannot tell you that I'm one of those people that got married and they are thinking, what are we doing here? I knew clearly what I was signing up for. That's why no matter what this man does, he knows that we are gum like super glue. The only thing that can separate is when Jesus comes. Do you understand? Because when we see him, we won't be able to see another person. By that time, I'll be so in love with Jesus. Can't be you. Do you understand? That's the only thing. Jesus is the only person that can distract me from this assignment. Because he's the one that sent me on the assignment. So you must understand, first of all, that marriage is partnership in fulfilling destiny. If you understand what it's about, you can't say, I'm done. Done what? Done serving God? The same way you can't say, I'm done, I'm not born again. It's the same way you can't say, I'm done, I'm not marrying again. But you know how it starts? It starts from picking right. And ladies, I must say this to you. Ladies, you are the one that determines the outcome of marriage. Because you are the one who chooses. A lot of women act like they're helpless. You are not helpless. You have the power. Anybody can toast you. Anybody can tell you anything. There are people that have tested me in this life. There's one brother. After I finished toasting, I went to meet him secretly. I said, brother, I'm begging you. Don't tell anybody you asked me out. Because you want to drop my rep. I'm not angry with you. You can desire great things. Dreaming is free. But don't say it outside. I said, because it doesn't even favor you. Because I still said no. So don't bring it up. Do you understand? But you have the right of choice. So when they come, you will ask yourself honest questions. Is this the kind of person I want to reproduce is kind? Because when you are choosing a spouse, you are not just choosing a husband for yourself. You are not just choosing a wife for yourself. You are choosing a mother, a father for your children. So some people by selfishness have already destroyed their children's destiny. So the prayer that you are praying in marriage is now prayer of fire and warfare and brimstone. When you should be praying prayer of thanksgiving. See, the person you marry determines whether you get a prayer partner or a prayer point. If you marry a troublesome spouse, you have been called into a life of prayer. All of us are called to a life of prayer, but your own name is different. Because while some of us are praying for favor, for blessings, for promotion, you are praying, Father, do it, or take him away. Do it, or take him away. I know women that pray for their husbands to die so that it will be peaceful. They say, separate Lot. Say, Lot must go. So you determine the outcome of your marriage. You choose. I don't understand how a Christian, listen, if you are a Christian, marry a Christian. It's not rocket science. If you're a Christian, you cannot marry an unbeliever. It doesn't make any sense. I have never met any human being. How many of you want to pick a husband or a wife? You go to mortuary. You mean you can't go to mortuary and pick dead body? Are you serious? Even find dead body that they did embalmed and did makeup, you don't like. So why are we doing it now? Because if someone is not born again, they're spiritually dead. So how are you marrying a corpse? And listen, if you marry someone, you're marrying their family. The father of an unbeliever is Satan. Your father-in-law must visit you. You can't tell him not to come to his son's house. And when he comes, he will come with gifts. And because he's big in his kingdom, he will come with entourage. He will come with his demons. They will come with sickness. They will come with quarrel. Sometimes, that demon of just slapper will enter him. Just slapper. She woke up this morning and she's singing praises. Slapper. Just say, the way you are loud in the morning when I'm sleeping. What can you do? Nothing. What do? You go and pray. Is that really the life you want? If you are sitting beside a woman, tell her you have a choice. Use your choice wisely. So you can determine how your marriage outcome will be. Do you want to be a single parent? there's nothing wrong with if it is something that you did not. I mean, people end up single parents, not sometimes, not by choice. Maybe the guy walked away, he didn't want to take responsibility, or a man died, or there are so many reasons. But for you to be, your husband to be alive, and you are a single parent, is the worst that comes to you. Oh, you don't know that happens. I remember one year I was doing a worship concert, and usually at a worship conference, God usually asks me to pray for certain people. So some years he asked me to pray for those trusting God for the fruit of womb. Some years he asked me to pray for other people. So that year in particular, I said I should pray for single mothers, that they should come out. I saw married women bouncing out. I near one. She said, waiting. That one, na man. I beg, I'm a single parent. Poor blessing woman. Christian woman. She said, waiting. This is not going to come out. Mama, please, poor blessing on my head. Let me correct grace to parents my children. Do you know what it means for you to wake up every Sunday morning? You dress your children as you are going. Your father just say, yes, come. Church is for women. Come, go buy beer for me downstairs. And then your children grow up thinking that church is for women. or you want to give in church, you will preach sermon to your wife. You will bring, this brings your strong reason, your weak reason, you bring everything, just for her to obey God. So it starts from the choice that you make. Tell the lady sitting beside you that they have a choice. Tell them, use your choice wisely. Don't let people deceive you. These days, what's happening is that everywhere you go, people are learning marriage from social media. You can't learn marriage from social media because social media did not start marriage. God started marriage, and the principles that guide marriage must be gotten from God. So you need to be careful what you hear and what you're listening to and who you are listening to. When God came to Adam and Eve in the garden and they ran away, he said, Adam, where are you? Adam said, I found out I was naked, so I went to hide. He said, who told you? And that's my question today. Who told you the things you are listening to? Who told you? Who told you marriage is bad? Do you know that's a sign of the end time? That people start preaching that marriage is bad? Please let me put up 1 Timothy 4:3. Who told you the things you are saying? Who told you that there's no head, that there's no order in marriage? Because I hear all those kind of things these days. Why should they say man is the head? Because the Bible clearly states that the man is the head of his wife. And God expects you to submit to your husband. I will get there. I'll quickly run through those things. Look at it. Give me from verse 1, in fact. Let me run through from verse 1. You'll be amazed at some of the things. You see, some things that God has already... God is not man. So he already knows what will happen. See, from verse 1, it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. That's when you start hearing things on social media. Marriage is not even by force. Marriage is not by force. Jesus never said it was by force. But if you're going to do marriage, you see, let me tell you. He said not everyone will marry. Some are born as Enochs. If your body is doing you giz-giz, you are not born an Enoch. Go and marry well. When people have made a mess of something, they will now start going on social media. Men are scam. Men are scum. Men, I don't even know which one it is. Is scum or scam? They are calling men all kinds of things. Because they have made a mess of marriage. They did not pick well. You cannot be a Christian and marry an unbeliever and expect the unbeliever to act like a Christian. That's madness. But so many Christian girls do it. And I'm shouting Christian girls because you are the one that determines nobody marries at gunpoint. If you say you're not marrying, you will go and toast another person. Men don't even have time. Men don't have time. Do you marry me? No. Will you marry? Tomorrow. After you say no, tomorrow. And you say, he didn't even beg me. No. He didn't beg you. Men mean what they say. And they say what they mean. Will you marry me? Simple question. You say no. He believes you. Which one is that? He didn't even beg me. So he will go and toast your sister. Because he tried here. Maybe the Lord is still speaking within the family. Maybe I didn't hear well. Uncle, we move to your sister. I play with men. So people have made a mess of marriage and they start talking and complaining. But my question is, who told you what you believe? Where are you getting what you believe? Are you getting it from the Word of God? Because what you are hearing determines your outcome. And it determines the authority behind it. So if God is saying that marriage is good, he says two are better than one, for they receive a good reward for their labor, tells you marriage is good. It says marriage is honorable in all things. There's no way in the Bible that marriage is spoken about that says anything bad. It says two are better. Better is good now. Abi? It is not good for the man to be alone, meaning it is better for him to be married. So let me give you a few things. A few things that you are, when you say I do, these are the things you are saying we do. So I'll run man and woman. I will maybe give one each. For the men, one for the women. So the first one, men. When you say I do, you are saying I will do, I will love her. Give me Ephesians 5:25. And you see, what I love about God is very clear. God doesn't want that your fake 419 love. I love you, do anything for you, or die for you. Doesn't want that fake one. So he said, instead of you to just be saying you, let me give you a standard. Because men learn more from what they see than what they hear. Men learn more from watching other people than from this talk that I'm talking. So God says, it's not me you are going to deceive. So I'm going to show you. See, it's Ephesians 5:25. He said, husbands, love your wives, even as who? As Christ did what? Loved the church and did what? Gave himself for it. What does that total? That tells you immediately that God is saying, when you say I do, you are choosing to love, and that cancels selfishness. Do you know that men are by nature selfish beings? The average man, except he is fully controlled by the Spirit of God, God dwelling on the inside of him, around him, above him, with him, around him, except God is fully embodied, indwelled in him. I just stubborn now, people didn't notice. Indwelled. Men are selfish. A man will never do anything that does not favor him. Because men are transactional. If a man is marrying you, let me guarantee you that it's benefiting him. It's only a woman that will see a man that is not working, his leg is broken, he doesn't have sense, he doesn't have behavior, and she'll tell you, oh, I love him. I'm sent to him. A man can never do it. Never. Doesn't, he has problem. They don't come and carry problem. Men don't do it now. Women do it because we are naturals. We just feel that if I love him, he will change. If I just talk to him, because of the way he loves me, he will do anything for me. See, men are very transactional. If you ask a man, why did you marry this woman? He can tell you why. Very clearly. Either she's doing this thing for me, she looks good on my hand, or she makes me feel good about myself. A woman's answer is, I love him. What does that even mean? So God says, let me help this man. When you say you are going to get married to someone, it means that you are deciding to lay down your life. It means that you no longer exist. You will always put her above yourself. He says, as Christ loved the church. And let me tell you, Jesus did not love us with words. He did not send us sweet text message. He did not do selfie with us. He did not do those things. Jesus saw we had a need. And he said, the only way to fulfill this need is to die. How did he die and favor him? Not favor him now. Favor us too. I know I was telling somebody recently that wickedness. Okay, no, it was past 10 minutes yesterday now. I was saying, wickedness is a lot of work. Do you understand? It takes work to be wicked. So I can never really understand wicked people. People are wicked in this life. And Jesus, that's why I can't. No, nobody can convince me not to serve Jesus. So let me tell you now. Do you understand that Jesus sees the wickedness of man? Have you ever encountered people's wickedness? Do you understand? People are wicked. Sometimes it scares me how, even one day, I think it was 3 years ago, something happened to me majorly, and I was crying, and I was saying, God, how can people be this wicked? Why are you telling me? As if? Because the way I was, people are wicked. He said, why are you telling me like this now? Go and read the Bible. I'm the one that said that the heart of man is desperately wicked. He said, even me, I said, who can know it? And you are now telling me as if you are giving me revelation. People are wicked, though. And Jesus saw the wickedness of man. And say, even with all these people's bad behavior and their wickedness. See, I don't have a problem with people's weaknesses. I have a problem with their wickedness. If you have a weakness, I can be with you. I can help you through it. But if you are wicked, our people are wicked. Jesus saw their wickedness and still died for them. They use small bad behavior that your wife has. Small, low. Her bad behavior is not even complete. It has not turned to wickedness. It's small bad behavior. I say, no, I cannot cope with this one, no. You are going to your father's house. I cannot. This is not what I signed up for. Sir, this is what you signed up for. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So when you say, I do, you are saying, I'm ready to die for you. Whatever you need me to be for you, I will be for you. And this is a big deal for men because men are not created like that. Men are literally all man for himself, God for us all. That's how men are. Ah, you go to sort yourself out. If a man enters a house and there's one plate of food, what will he do? He will eat it. He will eat it. And if he's in a good mood, he will call you. Omo, the food will be there. See, if you get plans, arrange yourself. I don't chop them. But if a woman comes home and there's one plate of food, she will be hungry and start cooking. She won't even think, let me eat this one, half power to cook. She will say, let me be cooking first. In case somebody comes in, they can eat this one while the other man. You not go even remain for you. At least uncle, eat half and leave for me, no. So that's what you are pledging to do. You are saying, I'm going to lay down my life. I'm putting aside selfishness. I will think of you first. If there's one car in the house, you will be driving the car. I will be trekking till I have enough sense to buy another one. Women, you will celebrate now. So as a man, the first thing you say, when you say, I do, what you are saying is that I've pledged to stop being selfish. Listen, if all of us can do what we are supposed to do, marriage will be easy. If as I'm thinking of you, you are thinking of me, what makes a man cheat on his wife? Selfishness. He's not thinking about how she will feel. And I'm an infidelity recovery coach, so I know how broken women are when their husbands cheat. He's not thinking about her that time now. He's not even thinking about Jesus. After we go beg Jesus, now they forgive. That's what happens. But if we're all thinking, if you're thinking, see my wedding band, my wife, you stand up and tell the girl, get thee behind me, sit down and be going. So the first thing as a man you're saying you will do is you will love. Men say, I will love her. So Christ said, you, when you find her. Single brothers who are saying, I will love her. But say it again. Say, I will love her. And God being God, he said, no man hated his own flesh. So he even says you should love your wife the way you love yourself. Because God knows that you won't understand any other thing. Until I bring it back to you. So for women, first thing you say when you're saying you do, you are pledging to help. Genesis 2:18, I'll read the Amplified Version. It says, now the Lord God said, so God had created man. He said, it is not good, in other words, it's not beneficial for the man to be alone. He says, I will make him a helper, one who balances him, a counterpart who is suitable and complementary for him. So God said, and God didn't just immediately say, oh, I would make a woman, and then he just brought a woman. No. He said, he didn't even say, I'm going to make a woman. He said, I'll make a helper. So what you are created to do is to help. So it always amuses me when I see women complaining about what they were brought to do. You are created to help. So that thing you are complaining about, it means the man cannot do it. So help him. Do it. I know that we'll quarrel after I finish preaching today, but I'm going to tell you the truth. Don't complain about what your assignment is. Too many women are busy complaining about their husband's weaknesses. That's what you are brought to do. You are brought to help him. You don't help him where you choose. You help him where he needs help. So don't complain about what you should be helping a man with. And women are so guilty of this thing. Many, many years ago, God said something to me. He said, your job is not to train your husband. It is to love him. So your job is to love your husband and train your children. Not love your children and train your husband. Because too many women, too many times, were trying very hard to make the man what he cannot be. This man that you met now that is almost 30, or maybe he's even in his 30s, This shout you are shouting now, his mother has been shouting this since. It did not work. So what grace is it that you carry? That you think will make the man change? Oh, he loves me. Does he not love his mother? And she has been shouting since. He didn't change. That same thing you are complaining about. Oh, my husband is too scattered. He will come in and throw his clothes everywhere. Pick it. The thing that is causing quarrel, it's not rich like that. Oh. He throws his clothes here. Don't complain, because he will throw it again tomorrow. This energy you are using to complain, it will be easier to pick it up. That's why I say wickedness is stressful. It's too stressful. He throws the cloth, pick it up. Because when your child puts the cloth on the floor, you say, oh, Junior, why are you doing this? Mommy doesn't like it. Why do you always throw your clothes on the floor? Don't be a naughty boy, mommy, giji buji buji boo. But your husband, you pick it up, but your husband will throw his own. What kind of thing is this? Grown man like you cannot keep cloth in wardrobe. I better pick something, Junior. I'm not your slave. But you will leave that room immediately and see Junior. Junior's clothes everywhere. Mommy doesn't like this, Junior. Mommy doesn't. Instead of you to help your husband, then tell your son to pick so that the woman that will marry him will be praying for you. We are the ones that will help the next generation. Everything. You see that? I'm sorry that the men in our own generation do not learn. When I first got married, that thing shocked me. It shocked me. That somebody does not say I'm sorry. Shebu, we are revealing our secrets. You say I can eat from fridge. I was just, when he was saying that, I was just like, don't worry, sir. I'll collect the mic. I'm coming. But it's true, she can eat from fridge. Shall I? No good. My husband will do something. He can't tell you I'm sorry. We'll just be playing with you. Sir? I'll not say, so you will not tell me sorry. He said, are we not okay? You still want sorry? I say, yes, sir. Because the sorry is my sorry. Oh. The sorry does not belong to you. Give me my sorry. Let me hold. Sometimes, in fact, at some point, I was so on the I'm sorry matter that I started telling him, before he offends me, I just said, tell me sorry. He said, I should tell you sorry. I said, just give me, because I will need it later. I will hold my sorry down. See, this life is not that hard. You are the one taking marriage like it's a do or die. If he does not say sorry and he's playing with you, he's sorry. When he's now okay, you can now collect the sorry that he did not give you that time. But if you insist on collecting it at that time, it will cause quarrel. And you, that means you have time, you have energy. Too much waste of energy. So don't see. So my son. Now I'm even afraid. Because boy say, oh, mommy, I'm sorry. You know I love you. I say, but you're one, I have it. Which one says, I'm sorry, you love you. Let me even tell you what you've done. So, mommy, you're very beautiful. Mommy. Because I vowed that my daughter-in-law will never complain that she doesn't hear I'm sorry. Now, I just have to add that he will change. Because my son can tell you I'm sorry and move on. I just need to add that he will change. Because Pastor K's one is change. Don't apologize. Just change and be going. So I now have to merge the two. So your assignment is to love your husband. Help him where he needs help. Stop complaining. Stop complaining. You're not even helping me in this house, auntie. If we go help ourselves, we'll not help ourselves. You that I brought to help me, and I want to help you again. Honestly, sometimes we need to just tell ourselves the truth. I know they are saying all these things on social media. They are saying, why should a man, if a man is, why can't he pack his plate? We're not saying he can't. Man, see, just help. Just help. There's nothing wrong with honor. Just help. And let me tell you, the world is creeping into the church. Because the world is saying something does not mean it's correct. The person shouting loudest is not always right. Yes, if anything, Bible says that. No, it's not Bible. It's Proverb. Hey, now, wow. Empty barrels. See, Bible has finished my head. Empty barrels make the loudest noise. You'll be shouting. So everyone, that story Pascal was saying, that you're not ashamed. It was my roommate that told me that, you know. That you're not ashamed you're a virgin. I say, what? What? I should be ashamed that I'm you. My roommates was not like, stop shouting. I said, no, we will shout, though. We will shout so that what people can hear us. That me, I should be ashamed. You are doing bad things, you are not hiding. Then me, I should be ashamed. It's the same way when I'm walking, I go for my prayer walks in the morning. If you see when I'm praying in tongues, look at me and answer you makalebo shata. Imragalibo tosa. Carry your eye. You should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For what? Good. I honor my husband and I'm not ashamed of it. I submit to him and I'm not ashamed of it. I help my husband and I'm not ashamed of it. People that say they should not help, you should not help, you should not honor. How are their marriages? My own, anything I want. Yeah. Because people don't like truth. All those people that are shouting on social media, they will not send him DM. Sir, please, I need counsel in my marriage. I say, sir, let's put this thing public. Let's put it, it's a confidential. Sir, these are the people that come outside and leave people astray. Then they'll come to you secretly like Nicodemus in the night. Sir, what are the things we are doing? The Lord must, what is that? The people you have led astray, they who could know not to come to me. I will publish it. Our job is to set people free. Praise God. I have a few minutes, so I'm still in number one. Number two thing that men, when you say I do, what you're pledging to do is to lead her. Is to lead her. Give me Matthew 20 from verse 25. I'll read 25 to 28. You are saying you will lead her. So what you are promising to do is to take the lead in all things. Leadership is responsibility. It's not about position. It's not I'm the head of this home, I will eat 2 meat. No, sir. You also bring 2 money, sir. Leadership is responsibility. And leadership means that you take the lead in all things. Leadership means you serve. Thank God that we have a standard. See verse 25. It says, but Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. This one now, King James, is hard though. It says, but it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. In normal Bible, because King James can hard me. What happened to NIV, NLT, TPT message? He says, if you are going to be a leader, you must be a servant. You must be ready to serve. That's what Jesus was saying here. He said, the world, now do you see it now? Do you not understand it? You push on for the pastor, maybe you like Bible or something. I'm joking, follow your pastor. So give me 25, let me read it quickly. 25 said, but Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people. So when somebody's in leadership, he said they flaunt their authority over those under them. Verse 26, but among you it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. So as the head, when you are saying I do, you are pledging to serve. You are pledging to serve. I want to help you, but you can also serve me, sir. Sometimes just serve your wife. My husband does it a lot. We'll eat, he'll just say, do you want, sister, don't pack my plate. He'll say, I can help you. But his mother must not be in the village, child, that's packing my plate. But I'm just saying. You must take the lead. Take the lead in parenting. Parenting is not a woman's job. It shouldn't be one-sided. We should be partners in raising the next generation. You should come and declare that this is what God told me about this child you are pregnant with. That this will be his name. This will be his future. This is where. Those are the kind of men that God is talking about. Not I'm the head of this home. Oh. Put two meats. When I'm talking, you don't talk. That's not leadership. That's not leadership. That your wife can't come to you as the priest of the home. Every time, you'll not allow Pastor Muyiwa to sleep. One day, Pastor Muyiwa will seize his phone. You'll not allow him to sleep every day. Sir, we have problems. But you are in the house, sir. Your wife is calling Pastor every minute. God's plan is that you are in that home. You should be there to preside as a priest over that home. To provide direction, provide, and to protect. It took me 8 years to have my first biological child. And those days, I didn't have, you know how people say that in-laws come and give you wala. Whether they spoke to Pastor K or not, I don't know. Never, not once, did anybody open their mouth and tell me anything. That, what happened? Are we pregnant? Are we not pregnant? The first day, my mother-in-law did not even mention it. I was just fat, so I couldn't blame her. So she saw me, she now said that she thought I was pregnant, the way I was. My mother say, eh, mama, what's that? What's that? Belle no they hide. If she born, you go see him. I was still trying to do, honey, you say, you better keep quiet. It's you I'm fighting for. I say, yes, sir. I said, fight for me, sir. But I said, but not one person, not one day for the 8 years did anybody talk to me. On the other hand, my mother. All I can say is I thank God I was not her daughter-in-law, that I was her daughter. Every morning. What are people doing? Have you gone to hospital? Do you know? So when she starts calling my phone, like my heart will be beating. My husband say, hello, mommy, we're fine. No, she can't come to the phone now. Like, even protecting me from my own family. That's leadership. Not that you are in that house. Your wife does not have a child. They've come to pack her load outside. And you are there. You are saying, what will I do? She's my mother. It's my sisters. I can't do anything. My hands are tied. Sir, your hands will not be tied in the name of Jesus. Leadership. Somebody will come into the house and slap your wife, sir. And you are alive. Hey! They came to destroy your body and you are the head. So lead her. Lead her. On the flip side, for the woman, your job is to honor him. To honor the man. And with this honor, I'm also talking about submission. And I think I want to address this submission. And if that's where I end today, that's fine. Because I think it's a major issue in the body today. I hear too many people fighting about submission. Why would you say a woman should submit? We didn't say a woman should submit. God said. And God did not say, just go about and be submitting to all men. That's not what God said. God said, you submit to your own husband. That's what the Bible says. And the reason why God says you should submit is because you have the first right of choice. You chose. God said, you know what? You choose, and then choose the person you can submit to. Nobody's going to force you. But when you choose, you must submit to that person. Then you will not go and choose rubbish. Or as they taught me recently in one church, animals. They say it's plurals. You will not go and pick that kind of thing and not be complaining about submission. There's nothing wrong with submission. In fact, do you know that as a woman, you submit every day? Don't you do your hair? When you go to the salon, they say, madam, we want to wash your hair, bend like this. You bend. Madam, do like this. We want to part this side. Madam, wait, Nancy, keep your head straight, though. You know, don't draw your head back. Auntie, hold your head. We're doing it. You've not complained once. Why? Because you chose the hairdresser. And you know the outcome of the hair will be what? Good. You submit every day. On the road, traffic light. We'll put red. I believe you obey by traffic law, sir. But you stop your car. I've never seen you say, rubbish. Why should I stop? Because I'm going to drive. Even if there's no traffic light. I don't know what they call you, Buzo, yeah, but in Lagos, last man just stop you like this. You will not submit. How will you not submit? They will tow you and your car. So this submission, even in your office, your boss is a wicked man. You hate him more. But when he says, tomorrow morning, first thing in the morning, we have a meeting in this office, and I want that document on my table first thing in the morning, what do you say? Yes. You see it now. Did you not submit? You say yes, and you even, yes now. You will now get home. Your husband will now say, that decision was, please go. I've had a very hard day at work. Don't come and put the one person that you chose, you now say you're not going to submit to. The real problem with submission, let me tell you, is that people pick wrong. I have never heard a woman who is happy in her marriage complain about submission. Never. A woman that is pampered, well taken care of, because she knows that the person she chose, his decisions will always come from a place of love. A man that will take care of you. You say, honey, where do you want to go for holiday? What's my answer, sir? Whatever you choose, sir. Why? Because I know he will pick what's best for me. Most times, he will pick better than I will pick. Because his eye is really big, not like my own. I'm always doing less save money. When you pick someone that will take care of you, that loves you, it's easy to submit. But when you go and pick rubbish, and see, and God has also given us the structure. This thing is not rocket science. See, he said, the head of the woman is man. The head of the man is Christ. The head of Christ is God. There's an order. You want to be wiser than God. You don't want to stay within the order. You now step out and go and pick a man who his head is not Christ. You pick somebody whose head is Satan. And then you will not be doing rubbish and you say, I can't submit. Of course you can't submit. Because you chose rubbish. If you pick a man who is submitted to Christ, then when the Bible says that your submission is as unto Christ, your submission is actually to Christ. Because he is submitted to Christ. So you know that every decision he's making is Christ's decision. It's not even him. Because we are all submitted. So I'm submitted to him, he's submitted to Christ. So in other words, we are both submitted to Christ. It's just that the instruction is getting to him first. That's why submission is never about equality. It's about ranking. It's about order. God wants there to be order. God is not an author of confusion. That's what it's always, always been about, and that's what it will always be about. So when people start telling you things like, submission is not like that, so submission, let me tell you the truth. It's not even about value. Because we're all valuable to God. It's about ranking and order. It's like in the military. I went to a military secondary school. Imagine you give soldiers gun and you say, anybody do as you like. Are you joking? That's exactly what God did. God gave every single one of us a gun. And he says, I don't want chaos. So let there be ranking. It's ranking. It's not, we are all equal before God. Pastor Muyiwa's prayer is no more answered than my own because he's a man. We're all equal before God. Before God, there's no male or female. There's no Greek or Jew. We are all equal. But it's a matter of order. Order. God wants there to be order. So he said, you know what? I'm not going to choose for you. You choose the person you can submit to. It's like when I was growing up. When my mother brings something home, she will say, the older person should share and let the younger pick. Is that not fair? That's fair. So when you pick, you must submit to that person. You can't pick someone and be giving him wahala. I have never seen anybody enter a car. And then after a while, I say, I don't like the way the driver is driving. You now start struggling steering. What's that? Is it not accident? It's accident. And that's what's happening in marriages today. There are many accidents because people that are in passenger seat want to be struggling with steering. You have three options. It's either you keep quiet and let the person drive and you'll be praying. Or you calm down, jejeo, and say, I'm not entering this car again. Or from the beginning, you pick the person that you are sure can drive well. Those are the three options you have. Other than that, you have no right to go to social media and be writing submission as scam. Submission is slavery. Submission is punishment. Why does God hate women? Why does God stupid talk from the pit of hell? Satan has always been about identity. Submission is always about identity. People are fighting for equality. The mere fact that you are fighting for equality means that you agree that you are not equal. That in itself negates the whole fight. So you fight for neutrality. Fight that. I'm a woman and I love being a woman. There are things I can do that a man cannot do. There's some kind of power I have that a man will never have. So for you as a woman, honor. I'm going to try and rush through the rest. I hope I have time. Honor. For a woman, you must honor. And I always say this, a man is not respected until he feels respected. Ephesians 5:33, Amplified Classic. It says, however, because when I say submit to your husband, people are crying, what does he mean? What does he? Listen. It says, let each man of you, without exception, love his wife as being in a sense his very own self. And let the wife see that she respects and reverences her husband, that she notices him, that she regards him, that she honors him, that she prefers him, she venerates and esteems him, and that she defers to him, praises him, and loves and admires him exceedingly. Listen, let me tell you. God is just giving you the secret on how to manage men. You think it's punishment? It's not punishment, it's expo. Just honor a man, he will just anything up to half of my kingdom. God is saying, why do you want to stress yourself? Praise him. Men are like me, just praise him, he will do what he wants. Honor him, notice him, his face is down, notice. Ask him, what is wrong with you? He will do like, baby, nah, nah, nah. What is it, baby, what do you want? Baby, you not call him that thing. Baby, what do you want? Who lies suffer? God is giving you expo, take it. The third thing, men, learn her, okay? And I'm going to stop on this one. I have a few more, but I'm going to stop on this one. I'll do one more for the women and I'll stop. So learn her. Learn her love languages. Learn how to treat her. The Bible is very clear. You see, and the woman you marry is going to be your school. So when you say, I do, you are saying that forever and ever, I will be learning about you until I die. What you want, what makes you happy, what pleases you, how I can make you grow, how I can release you to the world, what are the qualities you have. I'm a groomsman, I'm a husbandman. How can I help you grow and shine? That's what you are saying. But the problem most times is that men don't even take the time to learn. You say, but I'm doing this for, you are speaking a language that she doesn't understand. I'll tell you a simple story. When I went to have my son in America, 2015. So my husband came to drop us, and then he was good because he dropped me with the two elder sisters, and then he was going back to Nigeria. But you know how America is. You need a car to move about. It's not convenient. So my husband left early that morning. He came home for 2 days. Oh no, he had two more days to go. Two more days. He was with me. Then he had two more days to go. Then down the morning before the day was going, my husband went out early in the morning, came back around 5 p.m. with car, brand new car. He came inside. Honey, I just bought you a car. I came outside. He said, you will not enter the car. I opened the car. Let it not be like I didn't enter. Open the car. I entered. Bah. He said, so you will not drive it. I see my tummy. He said, move the seat back now. I moved the seat back. I pressed the thing. He said, see, this one is even different. He has this option. He has this one down. I was just looking at him. He now said, all this thing I did for you, you're not even happy. I said, because you are going tomorrow. It did not even occur to you come and spend this whole day with me. Why? Because my love language is quality time. I am not materialistic at all. So that car he bought for me, my husband was wondering, God, I just bought you a brand new car. Latest Ford Explorer, something, something. He could not understand it. But you see, that's usually what happens in marriages. A man is saying, I'm doing everything. The woman says, but you don't love me. You don't love me since I got married to him. And the man says, ah. So you are buying gifts. She wants you to spend time with her. Or you are spending time with her. You say, which kind of nonsense? Spending time, which kind of nonsense? Who wants? I better go buy motor joy. Wait to me this one. Who's staying with her? Or every day the man say you are beautiful. You are beautiful. Don't I know I'm beautiful before? I better go buy a ring, Jare. Which one be say I'm beautiful? Your mates they buy gold. Don't I see mirror? But some other women, you buy everything for them. He doesn't tell me I'm beautiful. He doesn't praise. Learn her. And you see, the proof that you are learning her, there's result though. The proof that you are graduating from that school, you are passing that school is the result in your life. It says you should, if you don't know how to dwell with your wives with understanding, it says your prayers will not be answered. So if your prayers are not being answered, maybe you are not learning that learning well. I'm giving you expo. Final one for the women. Which one should I choose? Which one should I choose? B is hero. Here in B. Let me choose B is hero. Okay? B is hero. What do I mean by that? Be the biggest champion of his cause. A lot of men, I've told you, men are transactional. Men don't just marry for the sake of marriage. Men need somebody to help them to reach their destiny, where they are going to. And I learned this thing from the life of Abigail. When David was coming to kill Nabal, Abigail came outside to meet him. Sir, is it not you that is anointed to be king? Please, 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 don't stain your hand with blood over this useless man that does not have sense. You're not come and spoil your testimony. No, sir. No, I will not. I didn't even hear. If I'd heard, I won't let you reach here. I'd have come. She described to him who he was going to be, and she preserved that testimony. When Nabal died, what did he do? He came back to marry her. As my husband would say, that means they've been sending each other DM. The minute She just put obituary like this. Bam. As in, the thing has not even done. Reels has not. You know, reels has not even gone like this. He was there to marry her. When I got into my husband's life, one of the first things God told me, see, you can't do marriage without the Holy Spirit. You can't do marriage without the, I don't know how other people do it, but let me tell you. You can't do marriage without the Holy Spirit and without prayer. Those two things you can't. Forget what they are telling you, that if you dress well, if you lose weight. You know how many fine girls outside there? Is it by losing weight? You can't do it. The Holy Spirit will tell you exactly what to do. The Holy Spirit told me your husband needs help. He's an acts of service kind of guy. My husband will not tell you what he needs. He won't tell you. I have to start praying. The Holy Spirit said this, just ask him this. If you ask him, he'll tell you, but he's not just the kind of person that will just impose on you for any reason. No. So, the Holy Spirit said to me, he has dreams in his heart. Ask him. So I started asking him, what do you want to do? Oh, he wants to write books, but he doesn't have the time. I said, okay. So I will those days, when we first got married, I will sit down. I still do it. Maybe not as often, but I still do it now. I will now sit down, put his message in my ear, and be transcribing it. And now turn it into books. So almost all his books, that's how they were written. The next step, I noticed that there was something that was burning in his heart. He wanted to be on TV. That was when God told us to go on TV. And when I was serving, I served in DBN Television. So I had TV friends. So then I told him, okay, I have a couple of people. So the guy that even got us the slot we had on STV at that time was my friend, Stanley. So I had to follow up on that dream. We'll be in the office together till midnight with editors that were editing. See, I saw that he was going somewhere, and I was ready to make sure that he gets there. So when you're planning to marry someone, it's not just I love you. It's work, that this man has a destiny. Even some of you, if you understand, some of us women, if you understand the power that you hold, you will not be treating your position lightly. And somebody say, oh, they don't want to marry you, you're crying. He that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains. You are the favor carrier. A virtuous woman is a crown unto her husband. That means that when you enter his life, he becomes a king. Yeah. He says, he's not doing it again, I am crying. Won't you just carry your crown? Say, thank God, I know Kukuma won't put my crown for nonsense. Carry your crown, go and look for the right man and put it on his head. God has called you to deep and great things as a woman. So you have power beyond what you are thinking. You are able to multitask. It means that you can fulfill your own dreams and still help him to fulfill his. So I started helping him. Sometimes the things we even do, you are starving your husband of sex so that he can go and do what? Go and sleep outside and tarnish his destiny. He will ask you for advice. You say, what's my business? Let him go and do it. Doesn't concern me. You are one. How does it not concern you? Any mistake he makes affects you and your children. So you champion him more. You will pray. I pray though. I'm still praying. Not even I prayed. I'm still praying. You pray. Because there are things that God will even reveal to you. There are things I told him. I said, there are some things that God has even told me. That even my heart has not yet been able to carry to bring it out of my mouth to tell you. I told him one day, and I said, you have not scratched the surface of what God wants to do in your life. The surface. So you pray. God is sending you on an assignment. So that's when they give you a ring. You can't be doing, you don't have right hand again. They say, oh, please, I'm looking for you. You say, oh, you mean this thing, this way? Auntie, use your right hand. You won't die. So when God has called you into a life of service, that's what marriage is, on both sides. You won't play with it. And when you understand that marriage is for God, is ministry to God, the same way you don't miss choir rehearsal is the way you won't play with your marriage. The same way you pay your tithe is the way you'll be committed to keeping your marriage tight. Yeah, don't leave me. Hallelujah. Were you blessed this evening? Are you sure you were blessed this evening? Now I want you to lift your right hand to heaven. I want to pray for you.